And committee reports. This is where council members will let you know if there's anything that we've been, anything that's been going on that we've been up to in the community, and we'll share that briefly with you, or committees on which we serve, and reporting to council and to all of you what happens to be going on in those. So I'll start on my right with council, with Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Okay, nothing active on the design review committee right now. We do have an HSOC, a full HSOC meeting coming up on the 18th, Wednesday, and there will be a number of grants that we are approving. This should be a simpler grant process because the service grants that are up are ones that happen routinely and are used fairly consistently over the years, as opposed to the more one-time money that we had from the state the last time that was more complicated to manage. But there will be several of those different grant things coming up. And HSOC continues to work on looking at a process that better aligns the grant review process with the decisions that HSOC has to make to get balanced funding for that reflects the strategy of the system as a whole.
Tomorrow, the Integrated Waste Management Authority Board is meeting, and so nothing to report yet on that. Also, during our kind of hiatus here, summer hiatus, we did not have a second meeting in August. I attended a Zoom meeting with the board of the Central Coast Community Energy operation, and that meeting was a special meeting, had been called as a result of a request or the possibility of reducing the size of both the technical board and the policy board. And we, you know, are not a voting member yet, but we're invited to comment, and along with other cities in San Luis Obispo County, I commented that did not think that reducing the size of the board was appropriate at this time, certainly not to the level at which was discussed. Mr. Lewis, I think, has also attended a technical meeting where these things were discussed. And so they went back to the drawing board. That's not going to be on the policy board's agenda in the coming week. So I think that's a good thing. I thought it was kind of premature and being pushed along way too fast. And so anyway, that was an interesting thing. And I think it's important because we, of course, our citizens will be getting community, Central Coast Community Energy starting in January. And it's important for us to look out for them.
Councilmember Darris.
Thank you, Mayor. Last week I attended a service awards dinner or luncheon actually for Capslo. There was probably at least 40 people that were recognized. I think 15 of those for 30 plus years of service, two of them 40 and 45 years. So an amazing dedicated group of people and everything that they do. So that was really good to see everybody there. And next week, Wednesday, Air Pollution Control District meets, and of course, nothing to report yet, haven't met yet, but that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. We had a meeting last week of a regional transit authority. Fixed route continues to be down almost 36% since, kind of before COVID, but we are up over last year. So those rides are coming back slowly but surely. RTA is looking at our dial-a-ride consolidation. You might remember we talked at a meeting several times ago about consolidating dial-a-ride. Morro Bay is doing that with their own transit as well, looking to kind of put everything on RTA, achieve some economies of scale, and, you know, for us getting out of a business that we're not as equipped to be doing. So that's looking good. I think they're going to be getting us some numbers shortly. So we'll keep on the look for that. And I've been successfully using the battery electric buses on Route 12 and showing that the kilowatt per hour use is lower than anticipated. So fingers crossed, so far so good on that. Okay, let's move on to, we have two individual determinations. And so this is the council one is one that I wanted to bring forward, and this is a consideration of taking a position on Proposition 36. And Proposition 36 attempts to correct a lot of the things that Prop 47 did. And I'll actually ask the city manager to do a little bit of an explanation of that. But it really is in alignment with our legislative platform. Otherwise, we wouldn't necessarily need to be bringing this tonight. But on our legislative platform, we talk more about legislation at the state level. But because Prop 36 was a citizen-led initiative, I talked with the city manager. We wanted to make sure to bring this and get consensus from the council. So I'll ask Mr. Lewis to explain a little bit about it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I'll be my explanation. The facts are from the voter information guide. So to be clear, I'm not using campaign's piece of literature. California Proposition 36, titled the Increased Drug and Theft Penalties and Reduce Homelessness Initiative 230017 is on the ballot for November 5th. A yes vote supports making changes to Prop 47 approved in 2014, including classifying certain drug offenses as treatment mandated felonies, increasing penalties for certain drug crimes by increasing sentence lengths and the level of crime, requiring courts to warn individuals convicted of distributing illegal drugs of their potential future criminal liability if they distribute deadly drugs like fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine, and increases sentences for theft based on the value of property stolen. So specifically, the initiative would increase penalties for certain drug crimes by increasing sentence lengths and the level of crime. The initiative would add fentanyl to the list of drugs that would warrant a felony charge if an individual possesses one of the listed drugs and a loaded firearm. The punishment for this crime is up to 4 years in prison. The initiative would also increase sentences based on the quantity of certain drugs sold illegally. The initiative would also require individuals to receive increased sentences because of this to serve their entire sentence in state prison, regardless of their criminal history. The initiative would increase penalties for certain theft crimes. For crimes where money or property worth $950 or less is stolen, the initiative would make the crime punishable as a felony for individuals who have two or more prior theft-related convictions. The initiative would make the punishment up to 3 years in jail or prison, depending on the criminal history. Currently, it is punishable by up to 6 months in jail. The initiative would also increase sentences based on the amount of property stolen. Yes, on Prop 36, California for Safer Communities is the leading campaign in support of the initiative. The campaign is currently endorsed by San Francisco Mayor London Breed, Republican Party of California, California District Attorneys Association, and California State Sheriff's Association. The League of California Cities Board also took action on this at our last board meeting. I serve as one of 56 board members for the League of California Cities to take a position on an initiative requires a two-thirds vote of the board, and it did receive that. So there is not a organized campaign in opposition to the ballot measure as of this point.
Thank you. And I will just say locally, I'm seeing a very bipartisan approach on this. And what brought this to my attention was I actually received an email from a colleague, another mayor in another city saying, hey, we're gathering signatures of everyone on all sides of the aisle, and we think the more support we can show, the better this will be. Locally, our district attorney, Dan Dow, is doing an event next week to garner support for this, and it is being supported. I am one of the co-hosts, but it also, just to give you a sense of the broad base, we have Supervisors Arnold and Pichon, as well as Paulding and Ortiz Lake. So everybody is coming together on this important issue. One of the things that we talked about in our legislative platform is we needed some corrections to Prop 47. And without delving into all of those details, we also know that correction isn't back to mass incarceration. And what this does is it gives more tools to our officers to be able to, if somebody is stealing $950, at one store, and then an hour later that another one stealing that same amount, you can aggregate those rather than just somebody can go steal that and get a little slap on the wrist and they're on to the next one. So it's really meant to curtail retail theft. It is also meant to give a mechanism by which a judge can compel treatment, because unfortunately, a lot of the unhoused population, the ones that aren't seeking help from ECHO, the ones that, our team is reaching out to, and we are there trying to build those relationships and help and support and get them what they need. A lot of that response is, I'm thinking about it. And most of those individuals are suffering from some sort of substance abuse or addiction. And unless there's a way to compel treatment, they continue in their addiction, they continue on the street. And really the idea is that that's not compassionate. We need to give them a way to firmly get some treatment and get some help. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. Diversion programs will continue to exist. Judges will have discretion. Again, we're not looking at mass incarceration. So I wanted to ask my colleagues if you would be willing to kind of take a position on this tonight, that we would support Prop 36, whether it is in, you know, banding together with other cities. Obviously, if the league is doing it, it's something that we probably could have done without bringing it here. But again, citizen-led initiative, I wanted to make sure we were all on board with this. So I will look to council members, each of you, if you want to say something. Council
No, I'm totally in favor of Prop 36. I think this is long overdue.
From what I know of it, I am in favor of it. Certainly, I think we've all discussed the need, you know, for making changes to Prop 47, and this seems to do it. I'm a little concerned about, so, you know, us taking a position without chance maybe to consider it more deeply, looking at it right here with some additional information on top of what the city manager did. Given that the league has endorsed it, it does seem in keeping with our comments in previous meetings and in our strategic planning sessions about the need to make amendments to 47. I, you know, can see us being in support of this. Generally, though, my inclination to read things in great detail makes me wondering whether we need to do that tonight or whether it could wait till our September 24th meeting. But I don't see anything in Prop 36 that would concern me. The problem I have with a lot of propositions, you know, you look at them and they're many, many, many pages long. And there seems like after they're passed, there's always something wrong with them that you wondered about. But this seems actually to be reasonably brief and straightforward. And so I could support it if you think we'd something. But what is the time? What is the where is time of the essence here in terms of us supporting this now versus next meeting? And also, I mean, in the unusual event that somebody of members of the public might want to comment on it at all.
Well, and that is why it was on the agenda under individual determination. Okay. So that was there specifically for this purpose so that we could talk about it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Right. Fair point.
And it's not that there's an urgency. We put it on and it's nice to be able to take care of business when it's on the agenda and not have to keep bringing it back. But I also don't want my colleagues to have heartburn about not reading through every single word. So
we can do that. Fair point. You know, it was on the agenda as an individual determination. So I think I can be comfortable with it.
Councilmember, I will share if the council is open to taking a position or wants to take a position, we will submit that to League of California Cities and to the 36 campaign, and they'll list you as a supportive city. And so time can be beneficial as voters are trying to get education on where they'll say, oh, my city took a position on this.
Understand. Okay, thank you.
But we would have the opportunity to have another meeting yet before the ballots go out. So we could take the time, as Councilmember Verbeau was suggesting, and look at the details of it. You know, the overall objectives of this and the general description of it sounds really good. They address some very significant problems and the things that I have been asking our legislators to do for us. One of the dynamics that was going on in this legislative session was that the threat of this proposition was, in fact, helping encourage some various parts of the Legislative Public Safety Committee and some other folks who had been less receptive to our concerns to be able to bring some legislation forth in the. And the legislature had a package of bills that they were working on. And I'd kind of like to know how this lays up, how much of this has already been addressed by the legislation that's been passed. And how does this line up with that? And has the governor signed it yet? Because I don't want to say, okay, the legislature is taking care of this, if in fact then the governor doesn't sign it.
I'm thinking of the California League of Cities has taken a position in favor of it. I'm assuming that there has not been corrective measures, and my understanding and whether are whether, yeah, I think it died, and largely some of the things they were trying to pass were actually to block 36, because many in the legislature are not in favor of reforming 47, hence why it had to be a citizen-led initiative. They're not doing their job that we've all been asking for.
Yeah, the I would like it, since the league, if I read correctly on the site, and I did a quick, having been tipped off that we were going to have this today, I did a quick check on the league site, and it indicated that the league's action endorsing this measure was taken during the summer in July. So they did not have the advantage of, at that point, of knowing what the final legislation would be and how much would be passed and whether it would already meet the needs. Do we have any? And the league said that they were going to put together a side-by-side comparison, but I couldn't find that on the site today. Could we perhaps see if that might be available and be able to look? I mean, as Councilmember Burbeau was saying, these things sound good, and then the devil is in the details. The devil was in the details with Prop 47, which sounded good to a lot of people and turned out to be going way too far in one direction and creating real problems for us because of some of the details in that thing. Well,
the reason that passed is because it was named Safe Neighborhoods, Safe Schools, Safe Streets. It was deceptively titled, and people did not read what that meant. That's why that passed.
Well, and so we're potentially in exactly the same situation. We have an initiative, a proposition that sounds great. And, once we've looked at the details and see if it's doing something that the legislation does not. I mean, if the legislature gets it wrong, it's a little easier to make those adjustments than to a voter-led initiative. We've been stuck with this thing for 10 years. The title does, it's, the title sounds great, and so a lot of people will go with it. Could we just wait on this and come back at this? We have a chance to get some information on it.
Well, I didn't particularly want to ask staff to do a bunch of research on this. They have a lot on their plate. When you look at who's endorsing it, when you have district attorneys and sheriffs endorsing it, because they are the ones, in addition to cities, seeing the brunt of 47. And so they've been able to look at these details and see that, yes, these are giving us some of the tools that we need to help correct that. So are you wanting staff to do a full evaluation and side-by-side analysis of, I'm not sure exactly.
I'm looking to see if the staff would have the opportunity to ferret out what this League of California Cities said they had prepared about that, and to give us a chance to see what happened with the legislation that was pending at the end of the session that just concluded.
So I can share with you that, to be accurate, the league board, I serve on it, was fully briefed on all 10 bills. We were aware of what they said. The governor has signed them, but many of the bills address different things. They give different authorities to the highway patrol. They address large kind of, what do you call them? Grab and go, large groups coming into malls, but it didn't address some of the fundamental drug issues or the cumulative theft issues the way this does. And so that was what the league board debated this for a good hour and a half. The league lobbyists for public safety briefed us on each of the bills, and we still took the position. So I do want to, we were aware of that when we cast this vote. The information sheet, I'm aware of that. I became aware of that in the board update from the executive director this evening. I have requested it. I think you'll see that while the legislature moved these bills because they were concerned about this, our own lobbyist, Gonzalez, has said that and was sending me information that the reason these bills were moving was because they didn't want this, because this is tougher on sentencing and you have to finish your sentence and the cumulative up to the 950 becoming a felony. There's some of those nuances that in the end of the day, the board felt that retail theft, many communities are losing their Walgreens, their concern, their Rite Aids. Mm-hmm. And so many of the communities in the board expressed that something, is this perfect? Maybe not, but it does give the tools to law enforcement to make theft be a crime again. And that was what I'm sharing, by the way, not my opinion as a city manager, but what the board did. I want to be very clear about that, yeah, because this is a political issue. And so, but we did know the bills were signed, and they address a number of other issues as well. I will get that information to the council though, when I receive it, regardless of what you did see.
May I follow up on that? Did the board determine that the legislation passed did not allow for the accumulation of retail thefts over sites and times? Because that's one of the big issues that we see here. You know, somebody steals $900 worth here, and then next week $900 worth there, and then next week $900 in third place, and nobody has the incentive to do that if it's simply a misdemeanor prosecution.
I want to be careful sharing an opinion of the board that I may not get correct. The board felt that the 10 bills were not strong enough to address retail theft crime and fentanyl in particular. Fentanyl is a big problem in California. It's a big problem in Atascadero, yes. Frankly, you could ask the police chief. And so I think I don't want to try and say more than the sense of the board was an overwhelming support of the initiative, because we felt this had a greater opportunity in addressing retail crime and fentanyl. I hope that's a fair answer.
Yeah, to be clear, it adds fentanyl to the list of hard drugs. And then the other thing this does is it allows the judge to charge on a third offense of hard drugs and a mandate treatment. Now, judges still have discretion, but right now there is no mandating treatment, and we're just, you know, kind of, hey, mm-hmm. don't do that anymore. And we have no mechanism mm-hmm. by which to compel treatment or encourage any sort of, you know, kind of getting off the streets, getting clean, and maybe the chief might have something to add to that.
Well, I completely agree with what you're saying. And the proposition that used to be in place before Proposition 47 came along had the same type of compelled help. And I can tell you through my personal experience that we were seeing in that a lot of people who did need help that didn't have the capability of making that choice were getting that help. I believe that through my personal experiences in dealing with this for, you know, a couple decades now, that there are several people that find themselves just above rock bottom. They're in a safety net just above rock bottom. They can't quite get to rock bottom where they can make that decision that they need to change their life. And sometimes this compelled help helps these people get the help that they need to get their life back together. And that's my personal experience with that.
Thank you, Chief. Let me go to some of our other council members. Councilmember Darris, and then Forbo.
Yeah, one quick question, Jim. If I could ask, you said that this 58 member board that you sit on, it passed by more than two-thirds, and I'm curious by how much more than two-thirds. I mean, was it everybody, or was it just barely? Or I'm just curious, that's a lot of board members.
Yeah, it's a very diverse board. I it was over two-thirds. I want to say it was closer to three-fourths.
Okay.
You know, there are some council members who have, you know, different views on the board because but it was right around there.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, I wouldn't normally do this, but I spent the last few minutes reading the LA Legislative Analyst Office review of this and the Attorney General's impartial analysis of it, and I'm comfortable in supporting it. I thank the mayor for reminding me that, you know, it was indeed on the agenda. People do have an opportunity to come and speak on individual determination items. So I would draw my concern about waiting and doing this 2 weeks from now. I can be supportive of us taking a position on this issue. It does have a direct impact on our citizens. I'm always, frankly, a little reluctant, skeptical of taking positions on statewide things, but this is something that has been affecting our community really ever since Prop 47 passed, you know, which allows effectively serial shoplifting to go unpunished and create a culture of impunity. And I think as propositions go, this seems to be fairly tightly worded. I'm sure it probably isn't perfect, but it seems to be fairly tightly worded to address those concerns. And so I do feel comfortable with it.
And if the league, it sounds like the league board had the additional information at the end of the legislative session to make the assessment that I was concerned about doing, so that we're not adding stuff we can't fix that's redundant, you know, while we're doing something and we're not doing something that's redundant, then I'm that review is taken care of. We need these, you know, we need these tools. If the legislature didn't give us what we needed, I'm comfortable supporting Prop 36.
Right. So we have consensus then. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I do appreciate my colleagues bringing up a robust debate. And thank you for City Manager bringing your insights and Chief Settles. Okay, our next individual determination is our City Manager code enforcement related to Feather Flex.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. I've heard from a few of you and in my own observations, the return of the feather flag is proliferating. And we, on a case-by-case basis, have responded with code enforcement warnings and violations. There's a subset of the community, some of the businesses that felt that we were focused on their businesses. And there was a concern about how we were going about enforcement. And we explained that it was a complaint-based process here and that sort of thing. But I think at this point, to be very clear, these illegal signs really make the community look trashy, and they're not helpful. I know some of you on this city council took great strides many years ago to quote unquote clean up the appearance of our community. And I think one, we want to get good information out about what signs you can have, but I really would like to be assertive and more aggressive and more proactive would be the word, and sending notes to everyone who has a feather flag that it needs to go away. And we'll be enforcing against that in our sign code, and that they need to be taken down. So I wanted to ask the council if I could, this isn't typically our process, we're complaint based, but I wanted to see if I had support to move on feather flags.
And just to give it a little background, I was the one on the council at the time. You didn't want to single me out, but kind of coming on and saying, hey, it looks like we've got kind of like dirty laundry hanging out everywhere. There were tattered banners and feather flags, and it looked kind of junky. And what we did is the chamber came up with the business walk idea. And so now you know that we do that on a fairly regular basis, annual or at least biannually. And as part of that, we're asking businesses about signs, and if, would it be okay if sign ordinance was changed? And came to find out that the businesses weren't all that up in arms about signs. I think it had kind of been a leftover from years gone by. And, one person says something or one business has an issue, and then a council makes a whole decision based on that. So we kind of had a history of not really upholding the sign ordinance and getting to this place where we hadn't really been talking about it and things had gone a little bit awry. So the chamber really helped with that, did a lot of education and brought businesses together and talked about ways to highlight your business, bring attention to it, signage that is, appropriate and helpful. And we really made a lot of improvements at that time. And this was, oh gosh, about 10 years ago. And so I think over time we do some enforcement. We'll get a little proactive and then not as much, just depending on how much capacity we have and then if it's complaint driven. But it is something that we've done, I think, on a little more than complaint driven, but typically Atascadero is a little live and let live. So when we're doing something like this, I know it takes a little extra for us to go that mile and do proactive code enforcement. So that's a little bit of background. Clearly, you can tell this is something I'm in favor of. I'm hoping that we would be working with the Chamber of Commerce and helping to educate businesses and letting them know that, there are many ways that you can bring attention to your business and what those ways might be. But questions or concerns of my colleagues, Mayor Pro Tem?
Yeah, the concerns that I hear about businesses who want to be able to have feather flags and are concerned about that mostly are smaller startup businesses or businesses that are affected by our construction or some other kind of change. And what my understanding has been that our tradition in enforcing this has been that if a business is just opening up and does feather flags, that we won't jump all over. And the minute they open, we'll let that be for a little while, and then follow up and remind them that that's not allowed as a continuation. We saw that, for example, with the Arco station, which came here for its approvals and had feather flags showing in its pictures. And we discussed the fact that eventually there would be follow-up about those flags, but they wouldn't necessarily go the first minute. So I would suggest if we can be judicious in enforcement on it, so that with new businesses, and also to work consistently with new businesses who might think that that's their only option, to really work with the chamber to help them find good, you know, a rich panoply of ways to promote their business so that our businesses succeed and we don't have to have the trashier looking flags. You good with that?
Excuse me. I don't recall. I thought there was some allowance for short-term use of feather flags, especially for a new business. Maybe, perhaps there isn't. Maybe Mr. Dunsmore can answer that real quick.
I don't think that there is. I think there is certain banner provisions when a business first opens or temporary events, certain banners, things. But I think what happens is a business is new. They're like, oh, feather flag, that's inexpensive. Yeah. But they're still spending money on feather flags. And then they find out, you know, a week later or 2 months later that they can't use it.
And flags not one of those allowed types of banners?
No, they're temporary basis. That's loud.
Okay, that's good to know.
They're strictly prohibited. The mayor was correct. There is a provision for a banner sign for 30 days while a permanent sign is being made. And the banner sign is supposed to be affixed in the same location where the permanent sign is going to be affixed once they've applied for that permit.
Okay.
That's the provision that's in our sign code now.
I don't know if strictly prohibited would be the right phrase considering we're having this discussion.
Well,
but Mike,
prohibited by ordinance, enforced as we can.
Other question would be, when businesses come and get a business license, are they provided with information? It says, here, you're a brand new business. You need to know this. You know, you need to know what's allowable or not allowed. Because I also see a lot of the blinky digital light signs, which I believe are not allowed under our ordinance either, especially, you know, when they're going at night.
Yes.
So I think, you know, somebody opening a small business, they're going to gravitate to whatever, you know, was cheap and get their message out. And they're not thinking about, oh, this might not be allowed by city code. And if nobody tells them, they don't know, and they're going to go do it. Are they provided information either through us or, because I'm sure the chamber looks at who we've given new licenses to and then to try to solicit them to join the chamber. They are a good source conduit of that information saying, hey, new business, you need to know what you can and can't do. I'm concerned about, you know, how are we trying to convey this information for folks? Because the problem, as Mayor Moreno noted when this was addressed many years ago, was, you know, you had 9-month-old feather flags that were tattered and blown in the breeze and looked like rags, you know, which is a distinct difference from brand new ones that are there for 30 days. So how are they informed, if in any way?
So we do have the handouts we give them on what's allowed, and we do actually speak with them. Oftentimes what happens, though, is a different person will come in for a business license or do the permitting, then we'll actually operate the business later on. And so then there's that lack of communication between those. That's what we find most frequently. Or there's a business that's corporate owned, like when we see these newer corporate owned businesses, and then they have this automatic thing that they're
They send them flags.
Yeah, and so then it seems like every time we go out to talk to these folks, it's an educational opportunity, and they don't know.
In terms of enforcement, though, when we go out to a business and say, hey, you got these feather flags, they're not allowed, do we implicitly give them, you know, 30 days to take them down, or what do we do?
It all depends on the scenario. You know, if it's something that's affixed to a building or a site and on private property, we typically give them a very brief time frame because there's something you can just move right away. There's been some scenarios where they're on public property where we take them out and bring them to the business and say, hey, this was on public property.
Sure.
Here's what you need to do. Sorry. And so it's immediate.
Got it. Thank you.
Well, so I think I'm going to say we have consensus that we can enforce. And like with everything, I know you do it very judiciously. You're very kind and compassionate and helpful to our business owners, just like you are in any situation. So, yes.
Thank you. We will be kind. And the idea is compliance, right? We don't want to send a ticket to anyone. And I guess it's just a final thought. One of the things that concerned me why I wanted to put it down is I was in a business the other day that has a feather flag, and I was very polite, introduced myself and said, hey, you probably need to take that down. They're not allowed. And the individual said, well, I will take mine down when every other feather flag in town is down. And I went, okay, got it. So here I am coming to the city council. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yes, please, please do that. And I'll ask if there are any other individual determinations not on the agenda. All right, none. Meeting adjourned.
At this time, AM 1230 KPRL concludes this portion of the Atascadero City Council meeting, brought to you by Idler's Home. More of what you want for your home. Go to idlershome.com. We invite you to join us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month for the Atascadero City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
And now she wants a promotion. She wants a promotion for lying to us. She's still lying to us. She wants a promotion for being the last one in the room to advise Joe Biden to surrender the way we surrendered in Afghanistan, the death of 13. Actually, it's the death of many more. How many Americans are left over there? By last count, almost 1,000. You think they're alive? Tens of thousands of allies left over there? You think they're alive? They're all being tortured and murdered? Hunted down like wild animals? Never gets discussed? I mean, the border, the amount of slavery that's going on, not since the end of the Civil War have we seen this kind of slavery in the United States. Over 300,000 children missing. They don't know where they are. She wants a promotion? A promotion? There's nothing that's going right in this country. Because the government is ubiquitous. It's involved in everything. The materials in your home, the products and the equipment in your home, the appliances in your home. They're now designing automobiles. Just think about it. Is there something going right? I mean, look at the illegal immigration going on with Venezuelan gangs. We never had Venezuelan gangs in America before. MS-13 has a stronghold in every corner of this country. Little girls are being raped and murdered. Apartment complexes are being taken over in suburban areas with small towns. This didn't have to be. This wasn't God-made. This isn't a natural disaster. This is man-made. This is Democrat Party-made. This is Harris and Biden-made. The amount of fentanyl coming into this country, killing 100,000 people a year? Well, this administration keeps talking about genocide and things of that kind. 100,000 Americans dying a year, do they sound like they give a damn about that? They don't give a damn about it. It's just, you know, I was thinking the other day, poor Benjamin Netanyahu, the way he's attacked by the left in his own country and, of course, in our country. And these six beautiful souls, these young people taken hostage. Now we know they were being starved to death, that they hadn't showered in months, that they were being brutalized. They were held in an area where only two could lie down at a time, and there were six of them. Can you imagine the hell they were living through? And then at the end, they were executed with bullets to the back of their heads. And they blamed Netanyahu. And yet the same people who blame Netanyahu in this country, Harris and Biden and so forth, they take no responsibility for the hell that they've unleashed on the border and now in the interior of the United States. The criminals coming out of Venezuela, the criminals coming out of El Salvador, all over the world, committing heinous acts. They take no responsibility for it. I'll go even further. Look at our inner cities. It's not just Chicago. It's every major city in America. The amount of mayhem and brutalization and killing and rape. The Democrat Party runs these cities. The Democrat Party runs most of those states. Not all, but most. They take no responsibility for what's taking place, and it's their policies that enable it. So while they point to Netanyahu with these second six poor souls, they don't take any responsibility. They don't call the families of the people who were slaughtered by the illegal immigrants that are led into this country by this administration. And all they keep doing is hiding behind bipartisan legislation that was never bipartisan. The House opposed it. Every damn Republican opposed it. In the Senate, three Republicans initially supported, but they even turned on it. And the bill was not a bill that would prevent what's taking place. 5 million illegals a day? 1.8 million illegal aliens a year? Not including the gotaways? So you're talking about 2.5-3 million a year? You're going to completely change the nature of the nation? Which is what they want to do. Bipartisan legislation, just to underscore, that would have prevented Donald Trump from instituting stay in Mexico, that would have required that you and I pay for lawyers for every single illegal alien, that would have required that you and I pay for health care for every single illegal alien. You understand that if some of the people talking about this bill just knew the 4, 5, or 6 points I keep repeating, the American people would see what a bad bill it is. Why is this so complicated? But what exactly is going right in this country? They've destroyed women's sports. They've destroyed our public classrooms with CRT 1619 project, with absolute filth and pornography in the libraries, elementary school libraries. And when you remove them, they say you're burning books and removing books from bookshelves. That's how sick this has become. Everything is heading south. Everything is heading in the wrong direction. And even if we vote in Donald Trump, it's going to be a fight to reverse course because of the ubiquitous federal government. That is the bureaucracy, the judges, the activist lawyers. So voting in Donald Trump and Republican Senate and holding the House, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. And if Trump wins re-election, God willing, he wins another term. If Trump wins, they're going to try and cripple him from day one. And you and I are going to have to fight it. Obviously, legitimately and peacefully, I always say, and we always mean, but you understand. So these people on the left, Kamala Harris, their media, academia, these front groups, we have revolution by immigration, revolution by immigration. People keep talking about Donald Trump will not support the Constitution or democracy, who hate the Constitution and hate democracy unless they win. If they don't win, they favor autocracy. These are bad people. And she's a bad person. I haven't started with this guy Walz, but I'm going to stick to the focus of the debate tonight. We all have two ages, our true age and our biological age. The biological age suggests how healthy or unhealthy we are inside. You want your biological age years younger than your true age. And let me tell you how Field of Greens is helping me do that. Brickhouse Nutrition's Field of Greens is an organic superfood fruit and vegetable drink unlike any other. You see some on TV. This is the one. It's serious nutrition. Listen to this. Field of Greens was approved for a university study that doctors believe may lower your body's biological age. None of the others were. Now, that generally means better health. Each fruit and vegetable in Brickhouse Nutrition's Field of Greens was selected by their doctors to help support vital body functions like heart, liver, kidneys, metabolism, and immune system. Only Field of Greens is backed by this better health promise. Only Field of Greens. So at your next physical or checkup, I bet your doctor will notice your improved health from good nutrition or your money back. That's pretty daring, isn't it? Not for Field of Greens. Join me in a better health with 15% off, 15% off and free shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Levin. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code L-E-V-I-N. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code Levin. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I am Central Coast attorney Dave Durringer, and I believe in faith, family, and freedom. Without faith and family, there is no freedom. So the mission of my law firm, Protective Law Corporation in Morro Bay, is to help families grow family power by transmitting life, fortune, and honor to descendants.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all trusts are not created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain alienable rights, that among these are powers to defer, avoid, or shift taxation, to shelter assets from creditors, that to secure these rights, trusts are created by me.
If you are serious about asset protection and family protection, call me, Dave Duringer of Protective Law Corp in Morro Bay. Dial 805-225-5105 or just click on my phone number at lawnews.tv. Again, lawnews.tv, LAWNEWS.TV.
Is this a sign you need a sign? The Blueprinter and Graphics in downtown Paso Robles can help your business be seen. In addition to flyers, business cards, invitations, wine club signups, and blueprints, the Blueprinter and Graphics offers vinyl banners, PVC, coroplast, and metal signs, as well as full-color posters. Check out their new website at pasoblue.com. That's pasoblue.com. And be seen with the Blueprinter and Graphics in downtown Paso Robles.
Greetings, KPRL listeners. I'm Susanna Luthi, political reporter and California news correspondent, inviting you to listen to my show, Free Talk California, where we discuss the day's hottest stories and all the things our political power players don't want you to know, featuring guests from Sacramento, Washington, D.C., and you. Join me Mondays at 1 here on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM.
Welcome to the driver's seat of freedom. Get behind the wheel and find your freedom faster. Win one of two Chevy Corvette Stingrays or a share of $50,000 in slot replay from Chumash Casino Resort. Drawing September 15th, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are two things most business owners can agree on. 72% plan to sell their business to fund their retirement, and 98% don't know what their business is worth. Having a clear vision of your business's value and how it stacks up against the competition will provide you with actionable insights in many vital areas. Business owners, I'm Barry Fisher, Blazin' Bear Insurance. Protect what matters most to you and your family. Contact me today to learn more about how you can safeguard your future. 805-635-7200.
This is Elisa Williams with RE/MAX Success on Main Street in Templeton, and we are proud to be a part of the national RE/MAX network that outperformed 2-1 over the competition according to the 2023 RealTrends survey. RE/MAX Success has over 50 agents in Slo County, and we still have multiple offers for listings. The market is robust in our area, and it's a good time to sell in Slo County. We have offices in North and South County. RE/MAXSuccessTeam.com.
Each RE/MAX office is independently owned and operated.
Have it looking brand new every time. Diamond Detailing in Paso Robles. Cars, trucks, boats, bikes, motorhomes. They can remove water spots, remove scratches, and more. And remember, Diamond Detailing guarantees their work. Their name says it all. Diamond Detailing in Paso Robles. 2104B Vanderlip Court. Call Luis 805-703-0658.
Parkfield, Shandon, Creston, and Heritage Ranch, a part of the Talk of North County, KPRL.
On your radio.
Doug Schoen is a former senior advisor to Bill Clinton, advised him on polls, campaigns, and so forth. He was on Fox News today, and he's asked by Harris Faulkner if he's going to vote for Kamala Harris. Cut five, go.
Will you vote for Kamala?
At this point, I cannot. I would call myself undecided at this point, but I can't vote for her for reasons related to her change in position and also the Middle East, as we have talked about before. I do not believe she is sufficiently committed to Israel and fighting anti-Semitism.
Let me tell you what this man sees, because he's an honest man. He's a true moderate Democrat, and he's Jewish, but he's a moderate Democrat. He's an American. He sees that she is not going to govern as a Bill Clinton, as a moderate. He sees that she is a horrible radical. In fact, the rumor is now, I say it's a rumor, but it's what I've heard, that if she's president, that she's going to consider appointing Keith Ellison as Attorney General of the United States. Keith Ellison is an anti-Semite. Keith Ellison is the Attorney General of Minnesota. And she's been already appointing, and I think Mr. Schoen, I don't know him, I think Mr. Schoen has seen it, these anti-Americans, anti-Israel, self-hating Jews, and anti-Semites in key outreach positions. And it's amazing how the media have not made a list of this and put them out there yet. And she's also talked about putting together some kind of cabal that will re-examine our relationship with the state of Israel. What's to re-examine? What is to re-examine? They're surrounded by terrorists who kill their own people and kill the Jews. And by the way, kill Americans. And yet, I still saw a poll today. 72% of Jews are going to vote for Harris. 25% Trump. And I can tell you folks out there aren't Jewish. Nobody's more frustrated by this than I am. Nobody. It's suicidal. It's crazy. But we've gone into this in detail before about ethnic Jews and religious Jews. That's not to say all ethnic Jews are liberals, who aren't necessarily Orthodox Jews, but it is to say the bulk of them are, just as the bulk of Orthodox Jews are conservative. And then we have this. We have Bernie Sanders, who lets the cat out of the bag. I want everybody to hear this, because Kamala Harris is a liar. She's lying about her ideology. She's lying about what she's going to do. She's a chameleon when she runs for office. But as I said to you weeks ago, have you noticed that the hard left is not complaining about Kamala Harris? Have you noticed when she swings sort of to the center on drilling, on the wall, on various things, their kooks are not jumping up and down. They're not angry. They're not upset. They're quiet because they're being told behind the scenes, shh, I'm doing this to get elected. Once I'm elected, we'll do whatever we want to do. It's like Obama with Medvedev. Remember that? Well, that's exactly what she's doing. That's why she met with the mayor of Dearbornistan. Shh, don't worry. We know what we're going to do. They're telling these people that she is really as Marxist, Islamist, as we know her to be. And I just want to remind you of your responsibility to spread the word to as many people as you can who you know in all your contacts in your walk of life, whether it's co-workers or business partners, whether it's family members or friends or neighbors. Don't be shy. You don't have to be obnoxious, and you're not. But don't be shy. You got to start persuading people. I do this all the time when I bump into people, by the way. So here's Bernie Sanders. Cut two on Meet the Depressed. Go.
Described Vice President Kamala Harris as a progressive. She has previously supported Medicare for all. Now she does not. She's previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These, Senator, are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think that she is abandoning her progressive ideals?
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
See? She's pragmatic, doing what she thinks is right to win the election. She's a liar. And she's going to keep lying. Remember what I said. The Democrats accuse people of doing the very thing that they do. So they accuse Trump of being a liar. One thing Trump is not, he wears his views and his feelings on his sleeve. There's not much of a governor in between what he's thinking and what he says. He's not a liar. What he says, he means. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. And by the way, all those issues on Israel, all those issues on the border, all those issues with tax cuts and regulation cuts, he kept his promise, unlike most politicians who don't keep the promise at all. Well, I want to tell you about our friends at Advantage Gold. Economic storm clouds are gathering Our labor market is in trouble. Only 114,000 jobs were added in July, less than half of what we've been seeing. Unemployment jumped to the highest in 2.5 years. Banks, more and more banks are buying gold. Even the Federal Reserve is talking about slashing interest rates to prop up the economy. That's right, prop it up. They've been doing a lousy job over the last 10 years. In uncertain times like these, you need a safe haven for your wealth. And that's where diversification comes in, specifically gold. It's been helping to protect wealth for thousands of years. And when it comes to gold, I only trust Advantage Gold. As a matter of fact, I bought more gold from Advantage Gold this past week. Yes, I believe in what I say. Now, I exclusively buy my gold from them and recommend them for anyone looking to do the same. So call now, 800-900-8000, for a free gold investment kit. And to see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver, that's 800-900-8000. Don't wait for the economy to implode. Don't wait to figure out after the election what you're going to do. Call them today. Performance may vary. You could always consult and should always consult your financial and tax professionals. So we have the debate. And you know, it's amazing. Debates have an impact on an election in the past. There's no denying that, but it's not like, wow, the debate's going to decide all things. This debate should not decide all things either. Why? Because we know that if Kamala Harris is elected president, that our livelihoods are going to change, that our lifestyles are going to change, that America is going to change, all for the worse. She'll not only continue the Harris-Biden policies, she will significantly gaslight them. And there won't be a hell of a lot you can do about it. Why? Because the judiciary in many parts of this country has become heavily politicized. Like in Michigan, you have the state Supreme Court that ruled that Robert Kennedy's name must stay on the ballot. The guy doesn't want his name on the ballot. He's not running anymore in Michigan. But the Supreme Court, elected Democrat, says, no, you will stay on the ballot. And like in Pennsylvania, the radical left-wing court there, Democrats, said, no. You don't have to actually have signatures on the envelopes for us to count those. Where does that come from? That's not the law. It doesn't matter. And so you have an opportunity here to try and take control, not just of your own vote and that of your immediate family, but do whatever you need to do and do more. I'll be right back.
Brought to you by Kevin Hunt Insurance in Templeton. Whether it's home, auto, life, or business, call Kevin Hunt Insurance. Some passing clouds tonight and overnight. Lows right around 50. Then clouds early. Sunshine for Wednesday. High of 90. Upper 80s Thursday. Weather was brought to you by Kevin Hunt Insurance on Main Street in Templeton. Call 434-3276.
You're listening to the North County's choice for news, talk, sports, and Jukebox Saturday Night. The right choice, KPRL.
Hi, Jean, this is Ann. Remember my parents were so stressed out when they couldn't pay their bills? We are so relieved. We found Attorney Rossi on Spring Street in Paso. He knows his stuff. He explained all of my parents' financial alternatives for free.
Rossi didn't charge you?
No charge. Rossi offers a free meeting to help guide people who have money problems. He says good people get into tough situations and need help. He said there are solutions to getting people out of debt, ways to save people's homes from foreclosure, and sometimes cancel tax debt and stop lawsuits and stop harassing creditor calls. Rossi says about a quarter of his clients don't